الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eders.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه، وبعد. Respected brothers, sisters, listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome all of you once again, inshallah, to this daily discourse on Islamic manners and Islamic etiquettes based on a booklet titled Min Adab al-Islam, authored by Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda, rahimahullah ta'ala, may Allah have mercy on him. By the way, just a point here about the translation of this book. I have been informed that many of you have made their way to some of the bookshops in order to purchase the translation of this book. A translation is available. I think it's titled Muslim Manners, of this book. However, just a small note and point about this translation is that the translation which you have in English is not a exact word-to-word systematic translation of this Arabic booklet. So therefore, and also, it's not in the same order, and the translator has added from When I saw the translation, I think about a couple of years ago, the author has actually, the translator has added many additional notes and points from their own self. And therefore, it does not follow the same order of the Arabic text. So therefore, it may be so that you might think, where am I in the actual book? But I am following the Arabic text that I have in front of me, and therefore what you will have to do is you will have to search for the appropriate section in the English translation. Anyway, if you remember yesterday, we talked about one etiquette, one adab, one extremely important point, which was about ensuring that we identify ourselves thoroughly, correctly, properly, by using our clear and common names whenever we go to somebody's house, when we knock on the door and we are asked who's on the door, so we say clearly who we are. And likewise, I mentioned that this can be and should be extended to making phone calls, that we should identify ourselves when we first make a phone call, tell the other person who we are, unless you are sure and you know that they have your number stored, etc., all the details that I gave. Now today we move on to the next topic altogether and the next etiquette, which are the manners and the adab, etiquettes of visiting. We all visit one another, alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the ability to visit one another. We visit friends, we visit relatives, cousins, and fellow other Muslims. We visit a lot of people, alhamdulillah. What are the etiquettes before visiting? There are certain laws, there are certain rules, there are certain commands and injunctions given by Islam, by the Quran, by the Sunnah, and guidance given to us by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these are the manners of visiting other people when going to other people's houses. So the Sheikh, the author of this book, Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda, rahimahullah, he says, I'll read the text and then inshallah we'll, as we normally do, I'll translate and then try to explain to the best of my ability. He says in this book, إِذَا زُرْتَ أَحَدَ إِخْوَانِكَ دُونَ مَوْعِدٍ أَوْ عَلَى مَوْعِدٍ سَابِقٍ مِنْهُ فاعتذر لك عن قبول زيارتك له فاعذره فإنه أدرى بحال بيته وملابسات شأنه فقد يكون جد لديه مانع من الموانع الخاصة أو حصل عنده من الحرج ما لا يسمح لك باستقبالك وقتئذ فله أن يعتذر لك دون تحرج. قال التابعي الجليل قتادة بن دعامة السدوسي: ولا تقفن على باب قوم ردوك عن بابهم فإن لك حاجات ولهم أشغال وإنهم أولى بالعذر. This particular etiquette, dear listeners, is connected to what we discussed, I think, two lessons ago, the day before yesterday, which was briefly mentioned as a side point, and we mentioned the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when we knock on somebody's door, we should knock three times and not hang around, and you know, we should go away. If the person does not open the door after three knocks, then we should just leave and depart, and we should just go. And there's a hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, asking permission is thrice. الاستئذان ثلاثٌ فإن أذن لك وإلا فرجع. If you are given permission, then great. If not, then leave and go back. So this particular adab is related to that adab. Here the Shaykh is saying that when you visit someone, and not that they don't open the door after three knocks. What we read that day in that lesson was that if you knock on somebody's door thrice and they fail to open the door, so then we should leave according to the hadith and the guidance of the beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In this point, what the Shaykh is saying that if the person actually tells you that, sorry, you know, I'm busy at the moment, I cannot entertain you, sorry, I can't meet you right now, I'm you know, really, really sorry, then we as a visitor, and as I as a visitor should and must, without any grudge, accept his apology and go away, gracefully, in a graceful manner. This is what the Sheikh is explaining in this particular point. So he says, if you visit one of your brothers without a prior appointment, or with an previous and a prior appointment, in both situations. So if we go and visit somebody, whether our brother here means a Muslim brother, sister, relatives, cousins, whoever's house we go to, whether it's with a prior appointment and or without a prior appointment. But here, I would like to mention here that, look, first of all, it's good adab and etiquette, brothers and sisters, that we, you know, make appointments beforehand. If we want to go and visit somebody, we should give them a phone call. It's bad manners. Seriously, it's bad manners. It inconveniences the people. I mean, I personally know many situations where people are extremely inconvenienced because of the fact that people don't make a phone call before attending and arriving, and they just come and sit there for about half an hour, 45 minutes. People could be busy, you know, they can entertain you or not entertain you. And to make it easy for yourself, save you the hassle as well to go all the way and knock on the door, and they might not open the door, or they tell you that, look, sorry, we're busy. And then you have a grudge in their heart, in your heart, and they have some grudges in their hearts, and it just becomes all nasty, the whole situation. So Islam tells us, Sharia guides us, the beloved of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam guides us to this fact that, look, just be open and frank. Just be open and frank. Phone, and if the other person don't be shy. If you're busy, then just tell them that, you know, the host should just tell the person that, look, sorry, I'm busy today, and the other person should accept his excuse and apology gracefully, wholeheartedly, without any reservations, without any grudge. This is what this whole etiquette and this adab is talking about. So first of all, we should phone, but if we don't, We should make an appointment. We should phone, and we should visit people with a prior appointment, and we should keep our appointments as well. This is a very important point. We should keep our appointments. As Muslims, Islam emphasizes this point greatly, that if we make a promise, we make an appointment, we tell someone that, look, we'll see you tomorrow at this time, or you tell someone that I'll call you at this time, and we don't, it's a massive, grave sin. Seriously, it's a grave sin. It's a haram act. We take it very lightly. We just say, you know, that, okay, oh, you know, I'll call you tomorrow at 3 o'clock, inshallah. You know, our inshallah is famous. We are known. You know, inshallah has become a term to sort of, in a mocking way. We just think it's okay, fine. You know, inshallah, he'll make this promise a no promise. That's wrong. Whether inshallah or no inshallah, in both cases, if you said, if you've given your word, if you've told somebody that, look, I'll come and visit you tomorrow at 6 o'clock, I'll give you a call at 3 o'clock, you must call 3 o'clock, otherwise you will be guilty of a major, major haram act, a great and a grave sin, which is a sin that is a habit of a hypocrite. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the famous hadith, what does he say? Ayatul munafiqi thalath. The signs of a hypocrite are three. And then he mentioned, إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذِبْ. When he speaks a lie. وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ. And when he makes that promise, he goes against that promise. وَإِذَا تُمِنَ خَانَ. And when he is given a trust, he breaches that trust. These are the three signs of a hypocrite. Ayatul Munafiqi Thalath. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he mentioned in one of the signs is that when he makes a promise, then he breaks that promise. The hypocrites do that. Muslims don't do that. The hypocrites and the munafiqun, they do this, that they make promises and they break promises. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another version of the same hadith, brothers and sisters, this is quite serious. In another version of the same hadith, he said, وَإِن صَلَّى وَصَامَ وَزَعَمَ أَنَّهُ مُسْلِمٌ وَإِن صَلَّى وَصَامَ وَزَعَمَ أَنَّهُ مُسْلِمٌ. That this guy who breaks promises, who fails to time keep, he is negligent in time keeping. He fails to do time keeping and he does not fulfill his promises. He does not maintain and keep his appointments. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this guy is a hypocrite. Even if, wa in salla, even if he was to offer salat and he fasts and he thinks he's a Muslim. In other words, even if he's outwardly performing and practicing Islam, even outwardly if he thinks he's a Muslim, you know, he observes the outward commands of Sharia, external rules of Sharia, he dresses like a Muslim, he has a thawb, a beard and whatever, and she has a niqab and hijab and everything. But if she's breaking promises, she says, okay, well, sister, you know what, I'll call you tomorrow, and then you don't give any importance to it, it's a major sin. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, this is a trait, a characteristic of a hypocrite. And Allah mentions this in the Quran. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, Surah Al-Ma'idah. Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, awfu bil-uqood. O you who believe, awfu bil-uqood. Fulfill your promises. Fulfill your contracts. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was praising the prophets, he was praising Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam in the Quran, and he said, وَكَانَ صَادِقَ الْوَعْدِ وَكَانَ رَسُولًا وَنَبِيًّا. That Sayyidina Ismail, the prophet Ismail, he was truthful in his promise. He was truthful in his promise. So therefore, brothers and sisters, we should try our best to keep our appointments. If we take an appointment from someone, listen, time is very precious. And only those people will truly understand this, who understand the true value of time. We know time is very precious, okay? It's a gift given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's something that's, you know, more valuable than anything that we have in the world. Time is extremely valuable, okay? It's very precious. And, you know, if we don't keep our promises, you tell someone that, you know what, I'll call you tomorrow. And we don't go at that time, we don't call them at that time, or we tell them we'll come to your house at this time, and we don't go at that time, then we are actually, you know, this is the right of the person who has taken time out for you. Not only will you be disrupting their schedule, you will inconvenience them, rather your own reputation, your own reputation will be marred. Your own reputation will be tarnished. You will lose respect. Seriously, people will lose respect for you. Because time is so precious. You know, that person took out time for you. Seriously, we sometimes, coming from the Indian background or the Asian culture, Asian background, seriously, we don't give importance to this. And we think it's, this is Islam, brothers and sisters. You know, we tell someone, like I know a situation where somebody said, oh, okay, you know, look, I come for breakfast or tea or whatever, come for snacks at my house, come at 4 o'clock. And the host is waiting from 4 o'clock till 4:30, till 5 o'clock, till 5:30. And the visitors, the guests, they decide to come at 5:30, 1.5 hour. Subhanallah, you know, that's not what Islam teaches. You know, the host might have taken out time, that this is the only time from 4 till about 5 to 5:30. I mean, I know this is a situation where the host was only able to take out time from 4 o'clock till 6 o'clock. And he specifically told the visitors that make sure you come between 4 to 4:15. By 4:15 come. But the guests did not arrive saying, oh, this happened and that happened. 5:30. And now everybody's inconvenienced. The host wants to go because he has to leave the house by 6 o'clock, 5:45. So inconveniencing others, losing your own reputation, you know, not fulfilling the rights of other people, being a sin. This is a sin. We all know the story of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You know, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This was before he was given his risala, his prophethood. It's mentioned in some of the seerah books. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I think Qadi Iyad mentioned this in his Shifa. I'm not too sure of the reference right now. I know I read this in one of the Urdu seerah books, Seerat Mustafa by Mawlana Idris Kandahlavi rahimahullah. But he's quoted this from some of the original Arabic seerah biographies of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, maybe Qasthalani's seerah, and maybe some other books. But this is a famous incident that before the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given prophethood, we all know it's a common, you know, incident that we know of. What happened? Somebody said to him that, look, I'm just coming back, just wait for me here. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam remained waiting there for him for 3 full days, because he promised that, look, I'm just waiting. He said, okay, I'll wait for you here. And that person said, look, I'm just coming. And he waited for him for 3 days. And then that person, after 3 days, remembered, oh, I told him that I'll just come back, and I completely forgot. So he said, let me just go and see. And he saw him, he was still waiting there, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So, brothers and sisters, first important point here is that we should maintain our appointments, keep our promises. Going against a promise is a major sin. If you've told someone that, look, I'll come to your house, please try your best, to the best of your ability, to the best of your ability, that you go on time. Yeah, if you can't keep the appointment, for example, inform the person, cancel the appointment. And we also have a problem that, you know, even with making appointments at places like the doctors, we have an appointment. They tell us as well, there's a notice written there at the surgery, please keep your appointments, and if you do not keep your appointments, please cancel it. You know what, I'll tell you, many non-Muslims, they keep the appointments more than us, and if something comes up, they will cancel the appointment. And many of us as Muslims, we sometimes just overlook this. Oh, it's okay, appointment, it's okay, it's fine, it's appointment, you know. I'll try to make it. Appointment for us is like, I'll try to make it. It depends. If it's not serious anymore, it's okay. Forget it. We don't need to phone them and cancel it. It's a sin. It's a major sin. It's haram. It's sinful. According to the teachings of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if we cannot keep the appointment, then we should inform the other person. We should cancel it. How long does it take? Make a phone call. We don't have to go to that person's house. We can make a phone call. So we should try our utmost best, brothers and sisters, not to inconvenience others. Maintain our appointments. So anyway, The manners of visiting, first of all here, is that we should first make an appointment. And then number two is stick to the appointment. Unless we have a genuine, valid reason and excuse. Okay? You know, I just remember this, that Imam al-Ghazali radiallahu anhu, the famous Imam, the great scholar of Islam, Imam Abu Hamid, Hujjatul Islam, the proof of Islam, Hujjatul Islam, Abu Hamid al-Ghazali, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says in one of his books, I believe in his book, Ihya Ulumuddin, he says that, you know about the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I just mentioned the hadith that Ayatul Munafiq Thalath, it's a sign of a hypocrite, the three signs, and one sign is إِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ, when he makes a promise, he breaks the promise. So, sign of a hypocrite is that he makes an appointment, he makes a promise, and then he breaks it. Imam al-Ghazali, radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, he explains that this hadith is referring to a person, number one, who makes a promise not intending to fulfill that promise at the outset. So it's like, you know, okay, inshallah, that kind of promise. If somebody is not firm in his intention when making the promise, then this hadith refers to him. Or it refers to the one who was firm, but then had an excuse and did not cancel it. In other words, what Imam al-Ghazali is saying, that look, if an individual was to make a promise, and he was firm when he was making his promise, that inshallah, yes, to the best of my ability, I will fulfill this promise, I will maintain this appointment, I will without doubt call that person at the given time. And if something came up, and he had a genuine valid excuse, then what he did was he cancelled it, and he gave his prior notification of the cancellation, then this hadith does not refer to that person. This is the explanation of Imam al-Ghazali, rahimahullah. Which means that we should first of all try to make appointments. And the second point is that if we do make appointments and we are not in a position to fulfill that appointment, then what should we do? We should cancel it. Okay? We should cancel it. We should make a phone call. Sorry. You know, sorry, I cannot come, or I cannot call you, or it's difficult for me to come at this time. Can we make another appointment? So, the Sheikh in the book is saying, I go back to the book, he explains that, look, if you visit your brothers, your relatives, if you visit someone without an appointment or with an appointment. Now here he's saying that, look, you should be making an appointment, but if you don't, then whether you've made that appointment or if you haven't even made an appointment, this ruling is for both situations. Subhanallah, very important. This ruling is not only for the situation when you don't make an appointment. This situation is even for the situation when you make an appointment. You've told someone that, look, you know, I want to come and visit you. You said, okay, come tomorrow at 3 o'clock at my house. Even if you've made that arrangement beforehand and you go to his house at 3 o'clock, and then this happens, the following. What happens? He says, sorry, I can't accept you. What does he say? فَاَعْتَذَرَ لَكَ عَنْ قَبُولِ زِيَارَتِكَ لَهُ. He went to his house and he apologized from receiving you, from accepting your visit. He said, sorry, I cannot, you know, entertain you right now. Something really urgent or important has come up. فَاَعْذُرْهُ. Then the Shaykh is saying here, accept his apology. Accept his excuse. And remember, without any grudge, without any reservation, without any ill feeling, without any kind of enmity or ill feeling in the heart. Even, I mean, if we did not make an appointment, then it's clear. That's your fault. You know, you didn't make an appointment. You just suddenly, you know, came outside somebody's house and stood there, and you expect that that person has to entertain you. And that's ridiculous. But what the Sheikh is saying here, I mean, that's so obvious, that situation. I mean, that's not even worth discussing, that you did not make an appointment and the person says, sorry, I can't, you know, accept your visit right now. Then of course, I mean, you should go with an expectation that, look, you will not be, you know, allowed to enter. If you do, then that's a bonus. But even if you have made an arrangement, now here, because you've made an appointment, you have a right as well, to a certain degree, to a certain extent, but that person has a greater right. Who? The host, the person in the house. the one whom you are visiting. What the Shaykh is explaining here, that he has a bigger right, a greater right over you. So accept his apology, because he knows better about the state of his house. He knows better about the environment of his situation. Because it is possible, يَكُونُ جَدَّ لَدَيْهِ, recently occurred by him some prevention from specific prevention. Something might have just suddenly occurred. He did not know of this, just suddenly. Someone just suddenly been taken ill. He needs to go to the hospital. Something just suddenly has happened, okay? Or some حَصَلَ عِنْدَهُ مِنَ الْحَرَجِ, some kind of inconvenience has occurred by him, which does not make it possible for him to accept your visit for him. Which does not make it possible for him to receive you. So therefore, it is perfectly reasonable for him to ask you to excuse him. فَلَهُ أَن يَعْتَذِرَ لَكَ دُونَ تَحَرُجٍ. دُونَ تَحَرُجٍ means without any detestability. It's perfectly fine. There is nothing wrong in him saying to you, even if you made an appointment with him, there's nothing wrong in him saying to you that, sorry, brother, sister, sorry, something just come up. I cannot see you right now, inshallah, maybe some other time. I'm really, really sorry, it's not a problem. There's nothing wrong. And we should accept that gracefully. That's the point here. That's the adab. Oh, fine, is it something I can do? No problem. Okay, no, inshallah. No, no. Okay, whenever, you let me know, whenever you want me to come. No problem. Even if we've walked a mile and come to his house, brothers and sisters. Okay, so this is the adab. This is the etiquette of visiting someone. And then the Shaykh rahimahullahu ta'ala, so this point was connected to the previous adab that we read 2 days ago, when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith, he said that if you knock on somebody's door 3 times and they don't open, then we should go. Here, what the Shaykh is saying, that if the person actually opens the door and comes out and says to you, you know what, brother, sorry, I'm quite busy, or something's occurred, sorry, I cannot see you right now, I'm really sorry about this, then we should definitely go now. We should definitely accept this gracefully. We should be wholeheartedly willing to accept this and just go on our way, inshallah, make dua for that person. And then the Shaykh goes on to quote a statement. He says that the great Tabi'i, as we know, student of a Sahabi, whose name was Qatada bint Di'ama al-Sadusi, he says, and this is a quote which the Shaykh is quoting from him, he says, وَلَا تَقِفَنَّ عَلَى بَابِ قَوْمٍ رَدُّوكَ عَنْ بَابِهِمْ. Subhanallah, it's very good. وَلَا تَقِفَنَّ عَلَى بَابِ قَوْمٍ رَدُّوكَ عَنْ بَابِهِمْ فَإِنَّ لَكَ حَاجَاتٍ وَلَهُمْ أَشْغَالٍ وَإِنَّهُمْ أَوْلَى بِالْعُذْرِ. Do not hang around, do not stand around on the door of someone who declined you from his door, who said, sorry, I cannot accept you right now. Okay? Because you have things to do, you have hajat, you have needs, you need things to do. وَلَهُمْ أَشْغَالٍ, and they are also busy, they have business to attend to, and they are more rightful of us accepting their reason and their excuse. We don't need, see, brothers and sisters, you know what the important point here is that we should not demand an explanation. And this is what, وَإِنَّهُمْ, they are rightful. This is what the Shaykh is saying. وَإِنَّهُمْ أَوْلَى بِالْعُذْرِ. They are worthy, they have this right that we accept the excuse. They have this right that we accept their excuse. Okay, because that they are the host. It's their house. It's not our house. They did not come to visit us. We went to visit them. So we shouldn't demand an explanation. I made an appointment, so tell me your excuse. I have to understand. If I understand, if it's a valid excuse, then I'll accept your excuse. Otherwise, no, I will not. No, not that way. It's their right, whether they explain to us, they don't explain to us, it's at their discretion. Okay, so it's very important. And then the Shaykh, before we go to the break, inshallah, I'll just finish these one or two quotes off. وَكَانَ الْإِمَامُ مَالِكِ يَقُولُ لَيْسَ كُلُّ النَّاسِ يَقْدِرُ أَنْ يَتَكَلَّمَ بِعُذْرِهِ وَلِذَا كَانَ مِنْ أَدَبِ السَّلَفِ عِنْدَ زِيَارَتِهِمْ أَنْ يَقُولَ الزَّائِرُ لِلْمَزُورِ لَعَلَّهُ بَدَى لَكَ مَانِعٌ تمهيدا لبسط العذر من المزور فيما لو اعتذر. And the great Imam Malik, radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, used to say, he used to explain, he said, look, not everyone is in a position to disclose the excuse. Don't demand an explanation. You know, there could be something private that might have occurred. Okay, that person, something might have happened at home. Okay, not every person is in a position to talk about the excuse. Some private matter may have happened, for example, a kind of private illness or something that must have occurred to the wife. Now, you're the man, he needs to explain to you all the details of what's happened to his wife. Seriously, have some common sense. Some people really want to know why you're not letting me in. So Imam Malik says that, look, not every person is in a position to disclose their excuse. And therefore, Imam Malik says, it was from the adab, from the manners of the Salaf, you know, the early ulama and the predecessors, when they used to visit one another, you know what they used to do? The visitor used to say to the host, we have a zair and mazur. The zair, the visitor, the one visiting, would say to the host that, look, trying to make it easy for him, knock on the door, and when he opens the door, he used to say, لَعَلَّهُ بَدَى لَكَ مَانِعٌ. You are probably, you know, busy, right? You know, you've probably got some kind of a job or something to do. You sure that you are able to accept my visit? In order to do what? تَمْهِيدًا لِبَسْطِ الْعُذْرِ مِنَ الْمَزُورِ فِيمَا لَوْ اِعْدَذَرْ. As an intro, you know, making the host feel at ease, making it easy for the host to mention his excuse if he wanted to mention an excuse. SubhanAllah, that's how our Salaf, our great Imams and early Muslims would do. So when they used to go to somebody's house, knock on the door, they would say, you're probably busy, or you're probably engaged, right? I'll go away. No, they say, no, it's okay. So that person, the host, the one who's at home, feels at ease, and it makes it easy for him to say, it's true, I am busy. Because you've made it easy for him, seriously, brothers. And the same etiquette, this same etiquette should be with phones as well. We need to generalize it to the phone calls as well. When you make a phone call to someone, again, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. You're probably busy, right? I can call another time if you want to. No, it's okay, fine, I've got time, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, speak. If you don't want to say that you're probably busy, then at least, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Is it okay to talk for a few minutes, 5 minutes? Tell them how long you need to talk to them for. Seriously, you know, people call anytime. You know, sometimes people call, subhanAllah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, you know, this. You know, like they talk for 1 minute and then after 1 minute, you say, brother, sister, you know, just, if you don't mind, you know, I'm just in the middle of something right now, so can you call me back in 10 minutes? I'm right in the middle of something. And that person is like, you just try to stop them, but they just, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, no. They just carry on talking like, you know, it's like a machine that's going on. So relax. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Is it possible? Do you have time? Do you have 2 minutes? Do you have 5 minutes? Inshallah. These are the etiquettes even on the phone. So inshallah, we'll take a break now. And this point has still not come to an end. We have 2-3 small issues concerning this point about visiting other people and accepting the excuse, inshallah. So I'll come back after the break. Jazakallahu khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back, dear listeners. Inshallah, moving on swiftly. We were talking about, before the break, this etiquette, this adab of accepting gracefully the excuse of the host when he is unable to accept our visit, he's unable to entertain us, and the fact that it's wrong to sort of demand an explanation. And we just quoted what Imam Malik said. So now the Sheikh goes on to mention in the book, he says, وَلِأَهْمِيَةِ هَذَا الْأَدَبِ واقتلاع ما قد يعلق ببعض النفوس من جراء الاعتذار نص الله تعالى عليه في كتابه الكريم، فقال في معرض الزيارة والاستئذان والدخول: وإن قيل لكم ارجعوا فارجعوا هو أزكى لكم. وفي هذا الأدب القرآني العظيم مندوحة عما يقع فيه بعضهم حين يحرج بزيارة من لا يرغب بلقائه، فيضطر إلى الإخبار بعدم وجوده في البيت ويكون هو فيه، فيقع منه الكذب ويتعلم صغاره منه ذلك الخلق المكروه أيضا، وقد ينجم عن سلوكه هذا العداوة والإحن في الصدور. والهدي القرآني الكريم جنبنا الوقوع في ذلك كله، إذ جعل بوسع المزور أن يتلطف بالاعتذار لأخيه، وطلب من أخيه أن يقبل عذره. وإن قيل لكم ارجعوا فارجعوا هو أزكى لكم. I read the three paragraphs to the end of this adab. And what the summary of this is beautiful. What the Sheikh is trying to say here, that look, this is an amazing etiquette adab which has actually been commanded to us by the Quran. That when we are told that, sorry, you know, we're busy, we cannot entertain you, then we should accept this gracefully, wholeheartedly, without any grudges, without any ill feelings, and we should just go. This is a Quranic injunction. This is a Quranic advice. This is a Quranic guidance. And this is a very important adab. So the Sheikh says, because of the importance of this etiquette and this adab, and because of the reason that some ill feelings could be connected with people's hearts, and in order to uproot iqtila', in order to take out and uproot that, those ill feelings that could connect to some people's heart because of being declined, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this clearly in his book, in his noble book. What the Sheikh is saying, that because when sometimes we are declined, we go to somebody's house and they say, sorry, you know, I can't entertain you right now, sorry, I'm busy. Because this could result in ill feelings, hatred, enmity in the heart. Because of this, because of being declined, this could happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly, nassa, categorically, Allah in his book, Quran, he mentioned this. Because Allah knows that this could result in a lot of enmity, a great deal of hatred and grudges and breaking of ties. So Allah mentioned this clearly. فَقَالَ فِي مَعْرِضِ الزِّيَارَةِ وَالْإِسْتِئْذَانِ. When Allah was discussing the issue of visiting and seeking permission and entering, what did Allah say? And this is the verse which the Sheikh partially has quoted. He said, وَإِن قِيلَ لَكُمْ ارْجِعُوا فَارْجِعُوا هُوَ أَزْكَى لَكُمْ. This is in Surah An-Nur, verse number 28. And the actual full verse is, yeah, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَدْخُلُوا بُيُوتًا غَيْرَ بُيُوتِكُمْ حَتَّى تَسْتَأْنِسُوا وَتُسَلِّمُوا عَلَى أَهْلِهَا. We recited this verse, wherein Allah is saying to the believers that don't enter houses without seeking permission and without saying salam. And then Allah says after that, فَإِن لَمْ تَجِدُوا فِيهَا أَحَدًا فَلَا تَدْخُلُوهَا. If you go to somebody's house, you don't find anybody there, then do not enter the house until you are given permission. You know, yesterday I was talking about people just entering without permission, seeing the front door open. You know, take it to your house. Alhamdulillah, just go in. This is clear in the Quran. These are issues in the Quran, brothers and sisters. These are verses of the Quran. Quran being a very limited in terms of, you know, the actual text. Allah does not even mention the detailed descriptions of salah, prayer. But he's talking about when you go to somebody's house, you don't find someone there, then do not enter. حَتَّى يُؤْذَنَ لَكُمْ. Allah says, until permission is not given to you. And then he says, وَإِن قِيلَ لَكُمُ ارْجِعُوا فَارْجِعُوا. And when it is said to you that, sorry, go back, irji'u means go back. When the host says to you that, sorry, I cannot entertain you, I'm busy right now, sorry, please excuse me, then Allah says, فَارْجِعُوا, go. Don't stand around. Don't demand an explanation. Why? Why I can't come into your house? فَارْجِعُوا. هُوَ أَزْكَى لَكُمْ. This is more pure for you, Allah is saying. And then the Shaykh explains that this great Quranic etiquette is actually an alternative, مَنْدُوحَةً, is actually a good way out from that which many of us fall into. When we are disturbed by the visit of somebody that we don't want to meet. this Quranic etiquette, what is this Quranic etiquette? That we just tell them, we open the door, sorry, you know, I cannot accept you right now. The other person says, no problem, are you sure you want me to help you if there's anything wrong? Gracefully, this Quranic etiquette, subhanAllah, is an amazing alternative. It's an amazing alternative practice. To what? To what people resort to and what people fall into, which is a sin. When somebody doesn't want to accept someone's visit, then what do? They are forced into, فَيُطَرُّ إِلَى الْإِخْبَارِ. They are forced into lying. They are forced into telling them that they are not present in the house. You know what they do? Like, oh, send your son. Say, daddy's not at home. Daddy's busy. He's gone to work. Or daddy, something happened. It's haram. You are lying, brother. You are lying. But why do people do that? Because we are not practicing this Quranic adab. You see, Quran says, brothers and sisters, subhanAllah, you know, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, may Allah be pleased with them, they had they had many amazing qualities. And all these qualities they had took and learned from the beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But there are four qualities which really stand out. How many qualities? Four qualities and attributes, characteristics and traits of the Sahaba companions radiallahu anhum that really stand out. Number one is sadaqah, which is truthfulness. They were extremely true in their conversation. Number two, shuja'ah. They were extremely brave. Number three, sakhawah. Generosity. They were very generous. And number four, saraha, which is that frankness. They were frank. All of them start with either sin or sad in Arabic. The Sahaba, they had four qualities. Sadaqah, shuja'ah. Sadaqah means truthfulness. Shuja'ah means bravery. And what did I say, number three? The fourth one was saraha, which is frankness. And number three I mentioned, generosity, which is... I just mentioned it and I've already forgotten. I think I'm quite hungry right now. So anyway, generosity. But the fourth one which I want to talk about here, saraha, which is frankness. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were frank. Nothing hidden. Whatever's in their heart, it's on their mouth. Whatever's on their mouth, it's everything. They were abrupt, with adab, with respect, with simplicity, but they were just open, casual. They never had all these barriers. Simple, subhanAllah. You know, you go to somebody's house, sorry, brother, there's nothing, there's nothing to eat. I only have dates and water here. Simple. Today, when we visit one another, when we invite somebody for food, we think, oh, they'll take it bad. And we go through, out of our means of making sure we cook different dishes. It's not necessary. If you can do it, great. If not, somebody comes, just give them basic, simple food. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanAllah, he did a walima. What do? He said, everybody come for walima. Bring whatever you've got from home and let's all eat together. Simple. Open. Just be frank. You know, there are no barriers. And this is how we need to live our life. And this is what the Shaykh rahimahullah is saying here, explaining that, look, this is the etiquette which the Quran teaches us. This is an etiquette, this is an adab which the Quran teaches us. Which is that, what do? We are frank. If somebody knocks on our door, we open the door, we say, sorry, brother, sister, you know, I am very busy right now, something's come up, no problem. The other person accepts you are frank, they're frank, everything open, wholeheartedly, you know, without any ill feelings. And you just leave. So the Shaykh rahimahullah says that this Quranic guidance and this Quranic teaching is a great way out from falling into a sin, from falling into a sin of lying. It's a great alternative, being open and frank. It's a great alternative to what? To the situation where people are forced into lying. People resort to lying. And they say that they are not in the house whilst they are in the house. Okay? فَيَقَعُ مِنْهُ الْكَذِبُ. They have to start lying. And then they teach their young children. This is what the Sheikh is saying in the book. وَيَتَعَلَّمُ صِغَارُهُ. Sorry, not teach their children. وَيَتَعَلَّمُ صِغَارُهُ مِنْهُ. The young children learn this from their parents. You know, you tell your son, 6-year-old, go to the door, tell him, daddy's not at home. What will happen? This child, from a young age, will think, it's okay to lie. You know, sometimes when you need to lie, it's fine, it's to lie. The child will grow up to be a liar as well. Seriously, just like the father, the son will grow up to be a liar. Even with young children, we must ensure we do their tarbiyah in such a way that they don't lie. They'll think, seriously, that lying is not a problem. You know, sometimes we avoid, somebody's trying to phone call us, we avoid them. Just be open, frank. You know, if you cannot accept somebody's, like somebody wants to try to, you know, meet you or talk to you, just say, Assalamu alaikum, sorry, you know, I'm being open and frank here, with all due respect, sorry, I cannot talk to you today, I cannot see you today. I'll see you after 4 days. I only have time to talk to you after 4 days. Now, that is a good alternative to what? Try to dodge the person, avoid the person, hide from the person. That person's trying to text you, you don't text back, making lame excuses. Just be open and look, and that other person will accept it wholeheartedly. Seriously, brothers. This happens a lot in our societies and our communities. We want you know, somebody's help, somebody's assistance, for example. We try to call them, they will make sure they don't pick the phone up and this and that, and then, you know, what's all this about? Just be open. Salaam alaikum, no problem. No, other person should also accept this gracefully. Everybody should be willing to accept this gracefully. Yeah? So, what do we do? Just straight away say, look, sorry, I'm really sorry, until 4 days, I will not able to speak to you. But the problem is that the other person takes it back nowadays because we haven't learned this Quranic adab and etiquette. Seriously, people take it to heart. Why do they take it to heart? Because we have not learned this Quranic teaching. It would be better for us, that's a society we're living in, okay, that it's better for us to avoid them. Because then they'll, at least they might not think we're doing it intentionally. That's what people think. And that's how we've made this society, which is a wrong, evil society. You know, that person is being inconvenienced, he's trying, after 3 hours he calls you again, he phones you again after 5 hours. And what does Islam tell us? Be frank, open. You have your limits, have your times, have your whatever, no problem. This is my time, you want to see me, I want to see you, everything's fine, no problem. Just be frank. Sorry, I can't see you, please, you know, I can't talk to you for the next 3 days. Sorry about that. Another person, no grudges, no ill feelings. Allah says, وَإِن قِيلَ لَكُمُ ارْجِعُوا فَارْجِعُوا هُوَ أَزْكَى لَكُمْ. Go, this is more pure for you. Azka, this is pure for your heart. So, the Shaykh is explaining here that look, وَيَتَعَلَّمُ صِغَارُهُ مِنْهُ ذَلِكَ الْخُلُقَ الْمَكْرُوهُ أَيْضًا. When you lie, and you say, look, go and tell uncle, daddy's not at home. When you're sitting in the front room having a nice cup of chai, tea. Okay, what will happen? Your young children will learn this extremely bad habit as well from you. And this will also lead to what? This behavior of yours may even lead to enmity, al-adawa wal-ihanu, and hatred in the hearts. The Sheikh says that this will even may lead to enmity and hatred in the heart. How will that happen? Because he might get the feeling, you know, not everybody is foolish as we think sometimes. He might actually get the feeling and know that you are lying. He probably knows from the way your child is talking, who's at the door, who's 6-year-old. Of course, children are not good liars, and you've told your child to lie. So he'll get the feeling. So this will, the Sheikh is saying, will create enmity and hatred into the hearts and minds of other people. So we have to avoid this. Just be open, frank. If somebody comes to your house and you can't accept the visit, Allah says, clearly mention it, and the other person should accept this gracefully. And likewise with a phone call as well. And then the last line, the last couple of lines, what the Sheikh says, that this Quranic guidance, وَالْهَدْيُ الْقُرْآنِيُ الْكَرِيمُ, this Quranic guidance, جَنَّبَنَا الْوُقُوعَ فِي ذَلِكَ كُلِّهِ, saved us from falling into all of this. Saved us from falling into all of this, all of what? What we've just explained right now. which is lying, telling your child to go and lie, and hatred and enmity being created in the hearts. This Quranic guidance and this adab stops us and saves us from falling into any of this. إِذِ جَعَلَ بِوُسْعِ الْمَزُورِ أَنْ يَتَلَطَّفَ بِالْاِعْتِذَارِ لِأَخِيهِ. Because what did the Quran say to us? The Quranic guidance is that the Quran made it permissible for the host to gently excuse himself. The Quran guides us, tells us gently, the guidance of the Quran is telling the host, the one whose house you are visiting, gently, you know, just mention your excuse and excuse yourself. And the Quran has guided, وَطَلَبَ مِنْ أَخِيهِ أَنْ يَقْبَلَ عُذْرَهُ. And the Quran has guided his brother, the visitor, the one who's going to visit him, to accept his udhr, his excuse, gracefully. And what is that? The same verse again. Remember, if you want to see the verse in the Quran, the translation of it, ayah number, read verses number 27 and 28 from Surah An-Nur. And this particular part is in verse 28. وَإِن قِيلَ لَكُمْ رُجِعُوا فَرْجِعُوا هُوَ أَزْكَى لَكُمْ. When you go to somebody's house and it's said to you that, sorry, we can't entertain you, we are busy right now, then gracefully just go away. Accept it. Don't take any grudges in your heart. And as I said, we need to extend this to also to phone calls. When somebody, we phone someone, somebody says, you know what, I'm just really busy right now. No problem. It's absolutely fine. No worries. Don't worry, inshallah. You give me a call if whenever you're ready, or tell me a time, I'll call you. I'm fine, perfectly fine. No problem. Don't force them into accepting your phone call as well. Okay? Don't force them to accept your phone call, as I mentioned earlier on. Like sometimes, honestly, some people have a major problem. You know, they force you into accepting your phone call. They phone you and you say, you know, brother, I'm just busy right now. No, it'll only take one minute. And it's happened to me a few times. Brother, it'll only take 1 minute and they end up taking 25 minutes of yours. Seriously. If they've said to us that, sorry, I'm really busy, then straight away just accept it. And say, inshallah, no problem. Don't say, no, it'll only take 1 minute, 2 minutes. It's wrong. You know, there's Imam, and I'm going to end on this quote, Imam Al-Tabari. There's a great Imam, Imam Ibn Jarir Al-Tabari, radiallahu anhu. May Allah be pleased with him. He's written a tafsir of the Quran. He writes in his commentary that there was a sahabi from the Ansar, a companion from the Ansar, radiallahu anhu, who used to say that when he recited this verse, وَإِن قِيلَ لَكُمْ رُجِعُوا فَرْجِعُوا هُوَ أَزْكَى لَكُمْ, that when it said to you that go, then just go. When somebody says that, look, sorry, we cannot accept you today, we can't entertain you, and then we should just go. So this sahabi, he said, after I recited this verse, all my life I wanted to practice this verse. All my life I wished that I go to somebody's house, knock on their door, and they say to me, sorry, you know, we're busy, go. And then I go away. Because I wanted to practice on this verse of the Quran. But I could not, never. Because every time I went to somebody's house, you know, they would always entertain me. So I really wanted someone to say to me that, sorry, we're very busy, please, you know, go away, so that I could act upon this verse of the Quran. But anyway, inshallah, we come to the end of this particular adab and etiquette. So today, alhamdulillah, we discussed the manners of visiting, making sure that we keep appointments, we make appointments beforehand, we maintain our appointments, and then, inshallah, when we go to somebody's house, then we should not force them to receive us, and if they apologize, if they are not in a position to accept us, then we should accept the apology, and we should accept this apology gracefully, inshallah. So we end with this. Jazakallah khair for listening. Tomorrow we will move on to the next adab etiquette, which is connected to preserving the eyes, controlling the eyes, making sure that when we go to somebody's house, we do not see anything that we're not supposed to see. We stand on the side of the door and make sure that we don't look inside of the house. And then after that, there are some more etiquettes about when these are all etiquettes relating to visiting someone. So when we go to somebody's house, then how should we put our shoes, where we should remove our shoes, where we should sit, choosing a seat, the times of visiting people. So the next few etiquettes are all to do with visiting someone and the manners of visiting people, inshallah. So I leave you with this today. Jazakallah khair for listening. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to practice. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah wa sallallahu wa sallam ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.